This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bring you none of the hot take BS. We bring you best. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
Yes, indeed it is. You Better You Bet. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley. Great to be here with you today on the BetQL Network, where every game is Game 7. No hot take BS on this show. We bring you bets, we bring you sports, and a lot of both on today's program following an insane weekend in the world of sports as we come to you live today from the Odyssey app, simulcast by our friends at Stadium from 4 to 6 Eastern, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports, Twitch.tv/BetQL, and we are heard on radio stations across this great nation of ours, including satellite radio, Sirius 160, and XM 205. As Ken and I bring you the Wagertainment, we are talking all things sports betting. Proudly presented today and always by the king of sportsbooks, the great people at BetMGM. We want you to download the BetMGM app and you to visit BetMGM.com. And you can do so on a magnificent Monday, draft week in the National Football League, April 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2024. The show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet. I'm on Twitter and the gram, at the Kostos, and Ken Barkley, your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper. He's on X, at Lockie Lockerson. And on this magnificent Monday, we will do you, dear listener and dear viewer, the honor and privilege of bringing you two tremendous guests. Our friend Eric Eager will join the show from Sumer Sports, talking NFL draft. Specifically, hey, if this top 10's going to get a little crazy, what do you think's going to happen? Eric Eager will tell us coming up in the second hour of today's show, and we will also welcome back to You Better You Bet, after a couple week absence, the whale capper, Drew Dinsick from NBC Sports. We'll get a little NFL draft from our guy, the whale capper. We'll get some NBA playoffs from our guy, the whale capper. I feel like I want to turn this into like a Mambo No. 5 remix. A little bit of Paolo in our lives, a little Caleb Williams by my side. So Drew Dinsick joins us in the third hour of today's show, talking NFL draft and NBA playoffs. Plus, badass betting breakdown is on the way from Ken and myself on the weekend that was in the NBA and NHL postseason. We're going to hit every single series in both. We're going to give you betting takes on all of it, including if the Lakers are just D-E-D dead, and D-U-N done against the Denver Nuggets ahead of tonight's Game 2 at Mile High. Thoughts on all the NBA and all the NHL series coming up over the course of the program. As mentioned earlier, it is NFL Draft Week, and mentioned what we're going to talk to Eric Eager about. And Ken and I are going to spend some time on this also. And we mentioned this a little bit last week. There's never been, in the years that I've been following the draft, covering the draft, betting the draft, a consensus top 10 like there is this year among mock drafters, members of the NFL media. What happens if everyone's just wrong? What happens if none of this is based on anything concrete and it's groupthink And oh, like, I heard this might happen, but no one really knows. What happens if after the Bears select Caleb Williams, it's the one thing I think we feel good about, what happens if things go haywire? We'll discuss coming up today on the program. I'm very much looking forward to it. We will also give you, in the Power Hour, the final hour, all our bets coming up for tonight in the NBA and NHL postseason, some Major League Baseball as well. And of course, the biggest story in sports today, Zach Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos for a ham sandwich. Kidding, obviously. Not about the trade. That did happen. That is the most important thing. But maybe we'll get into that as well over the course of the program. Also, Scottie Scheffler wins every golf tournament, and maybe we should just bet him and just get rich and never work again. All topics for discussion today. We're locked and loaded. Magnificent Monday. It's NFL Draft Week, and we've got the NBA and NHL postseason underway. Great time of year on the sports calendar. Ken Barkley, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, that's. I think you covered basically everything. A really fun week on the calendar, and like I feel like I was like looking at myself in the mirror. I got the NCAA tournament dark circles under the eyes going a little bit because we've been staying up real late watching playoff basketball and playoff hockey already, and that's not going to stop in the next couple weeks, which is awesome. So I feel a lot like I felt like the Monday after the first round of the NCAA tournament, where I'm just kind of like bleary eyed, but really happy and like happy to be in the middle of that time of sports. Yeah, I mean, draft week and playoff season, they're like two of our favorite things on this show. And I mean, well, the draft, it's not like anything positive has happened yet. We don't even have any news really on where anybody's going to go. But in terms of the NBA and NHL playoffs, especially just kind of like the macro game ones, home teams doing very well, but who won, who lost, and how everybody looked through just that one snapshot. I mean, we really couldn't have asked for a better one game basically across the board with like a couple exceptions, but almost nothing. A very chalky weekend, but I think that's kind of how we wanted it based on a lot of the stuff that we bet.
Absolutely. And just a really solid betting weekend all around. The National Hockey League, like, absolutely ridiculous. And maybe we start there for a little bit, because we'll do like a ton of NBA this hour. We're going to hit every single NBA series. We'll talk, obviously, the game two is coming up tonight. We'll hit it from every angle. Ken told me before the show, he's got like 9 big picture topics that he and I haven't even broached yet on the NBA postseason. But it's like, I mean, like a minute or two on the NHL to start. Man, like, it could not have gone any better. The first weekend of the NHL postseason. A couple more game ones tonight. We got the Kings and the Oilers, obviously, the Knights and the Stars. But otherwise, dude, it was really, 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 really good in the NHL. It was great.
It was really fun. This is probably the first NHL postseason that I bet this much money versus like the last few years, or, you know, growing up, I would watch the Stanley Cup playoffs all the time, but obviously never bet them because I was like, you know, 9 years old or something. It's like, give me $500 on Nashville. Let me smoke a heater. It's like, you're 9. So this is kind of like a first
Red Wings over where, Sharks in the first round in 94 when like the Sharks beat them as an 8-1. I feel like we would have loved the Red Wings, right? It's like I was 11 and you were 10. We would have loved it.
I want to parlay Yzerman anytime goal scorer with something else. So the idea of like, well, now this is an event that I like anyway, but now just, I think I said this last week on the show, like I put more effort into revamping, improving, augmenting my like historical stuff for hockey than for any other sport. Cause it felt incomplete. It felt like I didn't have a lot that I liked in terms of predicting the champion or just learning more about how the playoffs worked. And I said on the show a couple times last week, I feel like I kind of got it. Not that we're going to get it right. Something really crazy could happen, but I feel like I understand so much more than I did before. And look, like, we saw this last year. The Rangers got up 2-0. They ended up losing the series. It's not like all these teams are going to win their respective series, but so far through the first game of 6 of the 8 series, this season series trend is looking really good. Home ice obviously proved to be really important. Every single home team won in hockey, every single home team won in the NBA. Bruins win and throttle Toronto, and they play again tonight, and it'll be pretty interesting to see what Toronto has in the tank the entire rest
of
the series.
No Nylander, looks like, by the way. Looks like no Nylander for Toronto tonight.
How about yesterday they have an optional skate and 6 guys show up? How about that? I mean, just what's going on? You know? I mean, maybe that happens all
Hashtag
the time.
Sick of it.
Right, exactly. Maybe that happens all the time. Also, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs, so we can all make jokes about it. What's going on there? It's like, what's going on? Need to fire the coach.
Sheldon Keefe.
I just, Adam's nephew, right? So it just, it's, there's like a, it, that, that's, that was really fun. Winnipeg and a absolutely, I watched every single hockey game over the weekend. A lot of them were really tremendous. Winnipeg, Colorado probably takes the cake just because how often do you see a really, really, really high scoring game one, especially with Winnipeg involved, the best goalie in the league somehow, you know, what was the game total name? 13, whatever it was.
Yep.
So
exactly.
It just, you know, a great start. And just from a cup standpoint also, I really liked Florida the most, also liked Boston and Vancouver. They all win to start. We can talk about Conn Smythe and stuff later in the show. So I'm with you. Like, you're almost nervous about, like, when is the other shoe going to drop here? Like, how many of these series are going seven? We know the turn is coming in both sports. We know it. Not in every series, but we know it's coming. Can it just steer clear of my series? can it hit some? Can, like, you know, can the Islanders do something tonight? Can the Capitals do something in game two? Can that be what it is? Can Vegas upset Dallas in that series? Can, like, that, can the Kings win? Not the Sacramento Kings, they're out already, but can the LA Kings upset Edmonton? Can it get crazy there? Because I like how this stuff's going so far.
And I have, like, I parlayed a lot of these, like, a couple different times, like, different variations.
Together, which is really funny, right?
It's, no, well, I have separate bets on it also. Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, well, right, yeah. Like, I'd like to, just in case they all win, I'd like to, like, right, you know, like, we're not to have a kid, pay for some, right, of her stuff. That'd be really great.
Yeah,
so, like, right, like, diapers are pretty expensive. All right. So why don't we do this to close the segment, and we can save the NBA for, like, basically the entire show today. We'll hit the NHL stuff also, NFL draft as we move along, and obviously at the end of the show, give you all the bets for tonight. Let's spend, like, a minute here, in all seriousness, on the Zach Wilson trade. So this just happened, sure, like, right before we came on the air. So Zach Wilson traded from the New York Jets to the Denver Broncos for, like a pick swap. Like, honestly, I can't believe the Jets got this much. They moved up, like, 45 spots from, like, the seventh round to the sixth round for Zach Wilson, when everyone knows that Zach Wilson's not going to be on the team next year. The Jets signed Tyrod Taylor away from the Giants. That's a nice, easy move for him. Same stadium, same locker room.
Yep.
So Tyrod,
not going on the market.
Nope.
Keep the apartment.
Nope. So, and honestly, like, I guess New York sucks. I was going to say I kind of like it, but I guess it sucks.
Yeah, I had to move somewhere else. Like,
so Tyrod Taylor will be the backup for Aaron Rodgers this year. Zach Wilson will not be. Zach Wilson goes to Denver. So on the, man, it's like, what a punchline without even trying for it to be a punchline. The Denver Broncos' current quarterback depth chart with noted quarterback whisperer Sean Payton, or maybe he just had Drew Brees. I'm not saying that's true or false, just, like, going to be interesting to see how this all plays out over the next couple years. Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, and the Nooch, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah. Former XFL great or USFL great? Where did he thrive the other
I think he was, I want to say he was on, like, the Seattle Sea Dragons, right? On, like, which,
yes.
I think it was the XFL, but he was the, and he, and Josh Gordon was
the Northwest. Yeah,
and right. Josh Gordon was the receiver, right? It was like, yes. DiNucci to Gordon was like the Montana to Rice of spring football, which is really funny.
Unbelievable. So, I mean, let me ask you, and people will hear this a lot this week. I defer to you on, like, all this stuff, like your analysis of, like, the kind of team building, what goes on inside the building, management, GMs. Yeah, I mean, you know the names. I don't even know the names of the GMs most of the time. Like, does this trade have an impact on anything in terms of the draft? Because the Broncos are rumored, right? Like, they might be in for Penix. They might be in for Bo Nix. They might be in for better than that. We don't really know. Like, does this trade signal something? Or is it just like, they're taking a flyer on Zach Wilson, and that doesn't preclude them from doing anything else on Thursday?
So my answer to this is I don't know. It feels like right now the Broncos are going to be, if they want a quarterback early in the draft, like in, like, the top 10, and we'll talk more about, I think the draft is very interesting today, and we'll talk a lot about it a little later. It feels like right now, if there's a game of musical chairs for, like, one of the top four quarterbacks, it feels like the Broncos are probably on the outside. Like they're not going to have a chair, right, to sit in when it's all said and done.
Well,
like, the Vikings have,
right,
they don't have number one.
Start right there. Yeah.
They don't have the first pick. And then, like, Minnesota has more capital than they do. And if Washington and New England both decide they want to take quarterbacks, and a report came out from Diana Rossini of The Athletic before the show that the Patriots are entertaining offers for the third overall pick, and we could talk about where that's coming from and, more importantly, like, why that's being floated to her. It feels like Denver right now would be, like, left without a chair. And if that's the case, kind of like what I'm operating under right now, is it possible And I think the answer is yes, which doesn't mean that the answer to your question is yes, Ken, that like that this will impact the draft and like and that they're not going to take someone early or take someone even in the second round. It's possible that Sean Payton like looks at this group and says, like, I can make one of these guys a star. Like, I can fix Zach Wilson. Like, Stidham can be my guy. I'm not saying that's definite, just that that does kind of track with the Sean Payton experience, right? Like, the whole Taysom Hill thing. Like, I can make Taysom Hill a functional NFL quarterback. Why can't he look at Zach Wilson and say, Wilson's got literally every single physical attribute you can want in a player at the position, and it's between the ears, and maybe he's had terrible coaching. Actually, objectively, I think we can all agree, Zach Wilson's had terrible coaching, and maybe Payton looks at that and says, look at who he had last year, Coach Hack, who I couldn't stop running down to anyone who would listen last offseason. Maybe he's thinking, I can fix this guy. This can be our guy. And we go offensive lineman with the 12th overall pick and kind of roll from there. So I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that they don't draft a quarterback and they roll with this like ragtag, like the misfit toys here. So I was going to ask you, your best guess here, it could be a guess, right? Obviously. Who do you think is most likely to start the most games for the Broncos this year? We can leave the Nooch out. Wilson, Stidham, who started the final couple games last year, or unnamed rookie quarterback?
I'll say, I think if there was a betting market on this, I think Stidham would be the favorite, just because it's like the easiest path to get to. It's the easiest destination to get to, I should say. Just like was on the team last year, already started games, and the two other people that'll be listed in the market are Zach Wilson and a rookie they may not even draft. So it's like, it's pretty easy to get there. But I mean, we can, and I think with this, you know, we were going to talk about Denver this way anyway. This trade doesn't change that. Whether they draft a quarterback or not, you could see the odds on the screen right now. I mean, like a dead season, like a rebuild, basically. And you don't think of Sean Payton, Super Bowl winning coach, as taking part in something like that. That's what this, I mean, just again, what do you think the win total is supposed to be? If Nick's asking me this question about who the starting quarterback's going to be for the most games, just like an irrelevant team, which is a really weird thing to say when they have that coach.
That weed is legal in Colorado. I want to know how high Broncos fans are getting this year. If like Zach Wilson's getting trotted out to play quarterback for their beloved Denver Broncos. We're just getting started here on a Monday. On the other side, we will roll through everything that happened this weekend in the NBA postseason and spin it forward. Nick and Ken, you better you bet.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
Offensive rebound. Missed the layup on the stick back try. Fighting for the loose ball, and it's Denver basketball. That might be it for the Lakers right there after that golden opportunity missed. Jokic, that's a slam over James.
No doubt on that one.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Saturday night, courtesy of the call, goes to ESPN. Man, I got to tell you, I'm here on the show. I'm looking at myself right now on camera. I look halfway decent. Don't look terrible. Not wearing any face paint. I don't got the red nose on. I have not become the Joker. Although, the end of Lakers-Nuggets, if you bet the Lakers, like I did, like Ken did in game number one, just to cover the spread, like Denver in the series, think Denver's going to win the title, maybe felt Denver favored by a little bit too much. If you bet the Lakers, you might have been with us. You might have been with us on Saturday night because of that sequence at the end of the game. LeBron and Anthony Davis channeling their inner Charles Smith, missing about 97 layups. And then here comes Jokic on the other end with the dunk, and Denver ends up winning by 11 and covers the spread. And we'll talk about Denver and the Lakers game two coming up tonight, the rest of the NBA playoff series in a moment. Eric Eager joins us next hour. The whale capper Drew Dinsick in hour number three. All our bets for tonight, final hour, power hour. We'll get to all the NHL series. Basically spent the entire break talking about the NHL series, both tonight's games and the rest of what we've got going on in the NHL postseason. So you like betting on sports, you like watching sports, we've got everything for you today on You Better You Bet. But let's start, Ken, breaking down the NBA with the game we saw on Saturday night as the Nuggets beat the Los Angeles Lakers 114-103. Now, I can set it up for you, right? LeBron and AD both play great. Lakers were up big in the first half, and Denver wins. And Denver covers. Denver wins by double digits. Where have we seen this before? I know you've got a lot to say about this, so I'll give you the floor, and we can kind of bounce back and forth, and we'll hit every series over the course of the program.
Yeah, I mean, so much to talk about. Almost don't know where to start, but I think there were two things about this series going in that were really important. One was just, like, do we think the Lakers can be competitive against Denver after the sweep, but they were close in all the games, and the Lakers are talking like they can be very competitive in the series, and Denver hadn't closed awesome down the stretch. Like, I think a lot of people were looking for reasons why the Lakers could be competitive. So one was just a basic series handicap, just like for all the series. Like, can the Lakers be competitive against Denver? But then the second part of the series that was interesting was just a broader Denver aspect to it. You know, like, kicked the game to the Spurs and lost the one seed because of it. And it just causes it. Murray, you know, didn't play every single game this year or even close. And you're just kind of like, and we said this all the time on the show, like, I think they're good. I think they're the winner, but you're just never sure until the playoffs start. Like game one goes bad. Murray's limping around, whatever. You never know. And so I think, you know, in terms of just like, are the Nuggets going to win the series? Yeah, probably. And I think even game one probably answered that question. Now, the series can still go for a while and it can take some twists and turns. But that was like a lot of ways, a pretty resounding win by Denver and how they kind of took the Lakers' best shots. Two stars play all the minutes. They win. They cover anyway. But I think as someone who was holding Denver title, and look, like, it's not like I was out adding all of these other bets or something because I was so concerned going into the playoffs. Just a really nice reassurance, at least, that, and it's so funny, like, this, I don't know why this is the image that's burned into my head, but I like, game one of the playoffs, all the superstars always get, like, totally new haircuts. Like, you notice that? Because they get, like, the 6 days off or 5 days off. And, like, so, like, even Jokic, who showed up to the arena dressed like Gru from Despicable Me.
Which is really, really funny.
But like him, like Luca, like all these guys, it's like, because they got like 5 days off, they got like 6 days off, they look like a new person. And somehow that's like symbolic of, I feel like, what we saw in all the series over the weekend, where whatever you saw in March and whatever you saw, and this is one of the reasons I say the end of the season doesn't tell you anything about what's going to happen in the playoffs, because you show up and then it's like, oh, Denver. Oh, okay. Like, yeah, all right. It looks like how it looked like November 8th or, you know, December 1st, whatever. So I just, you know, cool. Series is the series. Maybe the Lakers can get back in it some way. It seems unlikely. You know, I have the plus games. Maybe they can win a couple. That's what I need. But really, the broader thing is just like, honestly, for me, I'll just speak for myself, like a giant sigh of relief, at least, that Denver looked like Denver from last year's playoffs through one game, which, to be fair, like, it's just one game. I'll take it. Like, the way that they closed the season, Murray looked good. Jokic is just so good. Porter, despite all that's going on, played pretty well. It was like a giant sigh of relief. Makes you either want to not add anybody else or keep adding Denver, honestly, as we kind of head toward the next round.
I said this to you earlier today. I added more Denver last night, and then you had a good note, which we'll talk about, I think, as we move along here. But if you like Denver and want to keep betting the Denver Nuggets to win the title, it would have been something if Michael Porter, like 2 minutes into the game, like, my tummy hurts. Got to come out. Sorry, guys.
I give him credit, though. Did you hear his answer after the game? We don't have to get into, like, you know, there's, like, he has two brothers, like, Jonte.
I felt bad for
him,
right?
Know. Yeah. So people know what's going on with Jonte, obviously, with the gambling suspension. He has a third brother who's, like, gotten in trouble with the law, and we don't have to kind of get into what's happening. But he's got a lot going on. And I thought, like, a really mature answer. Like, I watched the clip a couple times and was, like, honestly, was, like, really, really impressed, you know? It's just, you kind of forget how old some of these guys are sometimes, or how young they are, I should say, sometimes, too. And yeah, I was just like, man, for him, just be able to compartmentalize what's going on and play in, like, a really important game in your career is pretty wild. So, again, like, I mean, fold that in, too. Just, it was just like, oh, okay, like, this looks like how I thought it would look when we got to this point. And even if you think that's the case, even if you think they're going to win, just to see it once and remember how they looked last year and to see all the same pieces functioning again, to see Jokic play at this level, and he's, by a lot of measurements, the best playoff player of all time right now by a bunch of metrics. That was on a few podcasts this morning. Murray, who raises his game more than any other. Imagine that. You have the combination. Your best two players are the greatest player in postseason history and the player who improves the most from the regular season to the postseason in Murray, and they play together on the same team. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. So, yeah, just that reassurance of how it looked. And we can get into kind of like all of the other markets. We can do that title thing now if you want, just because we're doing Denver. But, yeah, as someone with all Denver and nothing of anybody else, huge sigh of relief. Hopefully another sigh of relief tonight.
I thought it was really good. I'm hoping that people like listening and watching the show felt the same way. Do you workshop that take on like the haircuts and how, like, yeah, it's like symbolic because
I think of.
That was really good. Honestly, that should have been like that. That could have been like something someone brought up on like a debate show, and people would have been like, "Oh, wow, that's a good take."
Right. It's postseason. New haircuts. New teams. And I mean, let's do another thing that I was not workshopping, but that I had to do today. Because we'll do all the series individually here. Hockey. What did we just talk about in the last segment? The season series. It seems to matter. Even like all these series could go haywire through one game, and historically, how you play against a team in the regular season holds this incredible. How you play down the stretch holds this incredible weight of how you're going to play in the postseason. These are two things that matter a lot. And in the NBA, and I know Nuggets Lakers like has this streak going on with the Nuggets winning, but in the NBA, just look across all the series, and it's like, did it matter how these teams were playing down the stretch? Did it matter that the Mavs were the hot team coming in? Did it matter that the Bucks were the cold team coming in? You know, did it matter that the Stars were hurt? Did it matter that people thought something was going to happen? Like all these things, it just perfectly illustrates, I think, the two differences between the sports in terms of who wins the title, how you should think about betting the playoff series. Hockey, whatever you just saw, I think, like, matters a lot, and how the teams faced in the regular season, I think matters a lot. And in the NBA, it's almost like, do people think it matters a lot? Okay, if that's in the market, I want to bet the opposite side of that. Bucks, Pacers, Timberwolves didn't beat the Suns in the regular season. They win game one. Like, you have, it's the two sports couldn't have behaved more differently over the weekend. And it was just crazy, like, and, you know, just to have all these examples of one and all these examples of the other in just game one of this. We got all of it just in game one to kind of prove the point.
Nick and Ken here. You better, you bet. Breaking down the weekend that was in the NBA and the NHL postseason. I'm going to not like, because you said it to me earlier today on the phone when we were talking, so I'm kind of like stealing this from you, but I feel this. I feel the same way also. So if you'll allow me, please, to say this, because I think it's really good.
Yeah.
And
what
I agree 100%. I could not agree more with this thought, and it will lead into a bet that I will give out later in the Power Hour for tonight's games. And this can kind of lead into like a river that leads into the ocean, the topic, which is like the Nuggets are going to win the NBA championship again, and like how people can bet that. Where watching Denver, and I had the Lakers, and Ken had the Lakers, and maybe you are listening.
Plus the points.
Maybe you, plus the points, plus not to win necessarily, but maybe it's a favored by a little too much. Maybe they can win. We'll still like Denver to win the series, but bet the Lakers. The Lakers, and maybe, Ken, you had a different viewing experience. Maybe you, the person watching, listening, maybe you had a different experience than me. Lakers are up by, what, 10, 12 in the first half, and all I'm thinking is, well, okay, this is great for now, but what's going to happen when Denver puts, like, the foot down on the accelerator? Basically, like hold on to your asses. Hold on for dear life. And then, of course, that's what happens, and the Nuggets just decide, hey, we're going to stop playing with our food now and just, like, blow this team out. They're freaking awesome. And they've got the air about them, and I think a lot of people on social media, and I agree with them, were using the term inevitable to describe the Denver Nuggets. It's a word that I used and we used a lot recently in the NCAA tournament to describe the Connecticut Huskies. It's a word that a lot of people used leading up to the Super Bowl a couple months ago and in the wake of the Super Bowl to describe Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, the Denver Nuggets, it feels like, as long as they are healthy, the starting five is healthy, this team is inevitable. I think I'm done betting against them in single games. I'm good. I'm going to bet them tonight. I'm going to bet them in game three, game four, game five, whatever, however long it goes. Game one next round. Just on and on and on and on and on. I don't want to bet against this team ever. They're going to, they're awesome. They're the best team. Like, it's, I feel like it's over already. I feel like it's actually already done. Like, they've already won. Now they just have to do it and stay healthy and they win. And it's over. Kaput. See ya. See ya next year for like probably another Denver three-peating unless something else happens. So I think you kind of agree with my thought on the inevitability of the Nuggets and how they compare. But just, yeah, I'd like to be on the right side of things moving forward. So I'm just going to bet the Nuggets tonight and we'll see what happens.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a good point, which is, like, there's a difference between inevitable and likely, and, you know, Jokic steps wrong tonight, we're doing the show tomorrow, and the Celtics are going to win the title. I mean, that's the knife edge, though, that you sit on, and if you're like, well, that doesn't happen, he doesn't miss a lot of games, I mean, the story of this postseason is stars missing games and how often injuries happen, and injuries that you don't expect. I hope they stay healthy. This would have been true with UConn. Klingon takes a wrong step. All of a sudden, maybe Purdue wins the championship if the injury had occurred before Monday night. Mahomes, we've seen him deal with injuries all the time. Now, he's one of the guys that just seems immortal, where he can get hurt and it almost doesn't even matter, but, you know, you get the idea. Like, it's, look, there's
literally
there's ways this can go wrong. I just think, like, we saw how many series did we see over the weekend where it seemed like what we were watching in no way resembled what we had seen in the regular season. I mean, that's the best, and this team did not even play well in this game. That's the best game the Cavs have played in like 3 months. Like, and they didn't even play well. And that's still the best game they probably, that's the most intense game, definitely, that they played in 3 months. That's the best the Clippers have looked in, for. I mean, I know they were up on the Suns in the first half of these games, but just like with no Kawhi to do that, and Dallas did a bunch of stuff wrong the other way too, I understand that. I mean, Minnesota? I mean, some of these, they definitely didn't play Phoenix like that. You don't think a switch flipped? Anthony Edwards in the playoffs is averaging like 30 a game in his career. He averaged like 15 a game against the Suns in the regular season. You don't think the switch flipped for them? And so to see when the switch flips and we go to playoff mode, you're just never quite sure what you're going to get from teams. And you have an idea, playoff experience, which we talked about a lot last week. Those comments prove really prescient based on some of the teams that played well. Clippers, Milwaukee, teams with big advantages in playoff experience. And again, just to see Denver go with, like kind of ride that same wave, take that step up in competition, play better, was again, just reassuring. So I say they're the most likely winner. And I think people understand, I don't mean they're the most likely to get to the finals. That's definitely the Celtics. It's not even close. Like, if the Celtics might 12-0 this thing and appear in the finals. Like, it's totally possible the way that this path is set up. But, like, when we get there, which maybe we can talk about next segment, who would you think would win if both made it? And that's where I think there's the difference of opinion. The Celtics are going to be there a little more than Denver is, because they're just going to be there almost all the time. And Denver's not going to be there almost all the time. They're going to be there a lot of the time. But when we get there and they play, what do you think the market's going to be? And what do you think would happen? I think those are two totally different things.
I do wish, well, I've thought this many times in my life, I wish I was a little bit taller, because I'm short. It would be nice to have longer legs and a little bit more flexibility, so I could kick myself in the ass for not betting the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday against the Indiana Pacers like I wanted to all week. God, that was frustrating. Unbelievable.
You gotta trust your own instincts sometimes. I think I talked you out of it. I really do.
Well, you know what it was? Honestly, it was, I kind of got in my own head a little bit. I don't want to, like, listen, sure, like, I'm an adult, I make my own decisions, you could like something, but listen, I should have the conviction to stick with something. It was the thought that if I click this button and it goes the way I think it's going to, I am going to hate myself in the aftermath. I'd rather not have that happen. So I did regret it.
We've all been
there before.
But our NBA angle, little Catholic guilt. Next segment too. Our NBA injury angle, like, that carried into this playoffs. Clippers won game one. Like, Embiid actually played. Sixers still get smoked anyway. Giannis doesn't play. Bucks win. I mean, the game one's here. Like, the
Pelicans
are,
covered without Zion.
Pelicans,
I know it
with
wasn't,
no Zion.
I know it wasn't, yeah, the first game without him, but covered in game one of the series without him.
Right. And how about beat the Kings in the first game with no Zion when people thought they weren't going to do that? So interesting that it carried over.
Yeah. I kind of think the Thunder are going to sweep them. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But on the other side, big picture NBA title thoughts. If you like Denver, how should you bet them? It's all coming up next to wrap up hour number one, Nick and Ken.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. On the BetQL network.
To White. White catches, fires, hits a three. Tatum has his very first playoff triple-double now with that assist. White now with 18 points.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL network.
ESPN courtesy of the call. You know, Mike Breen, Fordham guy, first ballot Hall of Fame NBA broadcaster, still
all-timer.
Peyton the corner 98 with his fastball. Can we give him something a little better to work with than Doris Burke and J.J. Redick? Is that okay to say? Is it okay to say that without everyone getting mad
on this show,
team's not great? Is that okay to say without everyone getting up in arms that, like, hey, this, like, what we've provided him with is not great? It's not great, the Doris Burke, J.J. Redick team. Sorry, everybody. I wanted to say that before we get into, since Jake played that highlight there.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just... And it's okay. Yeah, I think there's a difference between, like, a personal attack against someone and saying, like, the continuity and, like, camaraderie on the team, the chemistry, is not good. That's way different than, like, these people suck or something.
Correct.
Like, I listen to J.J. Redick's podcast. He does a pod with LeBron that's really good. Like, I've listened to Doris Burke call games with other play-by-play people where I'm like, yeah, okay, she used to call games with, what, Mark Jones last year, I think, was one of the guys she called games with, maybe Pash a couple times. It's like... Mark Jones, so I'm sure he would probably appreciate that too. And so it's like, it's not just like, well, this person sucks, whatever. Just like, this combination isn't it. And I think my concern is it's never going to be it. That's my thing. People are like, well, it's the first year. Redick's coming in halfway through because Doc Rivers leaves to coach Milwaukee. And I like, not like that group was going great either, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, sometimes... just a chemistry thing. It's just like, what, you know, it's not great. Because I'll give you an example, like, just not to be super negative. I said this to you earlier, and I don't know if you agree or not, but I definitely feel this way. Ryan Rucco and Richard Jefferson do games solo, and Redick used to be with Jefferson. They used to be the analyst together. And I always felt like it was so weird because Jefferson likes to talk a lot during the game, and Redick likes to be very thoughtful to the point of almost, like, being too patient, where you're like, you're so smart, can you just tell me, like, what you're thinking right now, like, a little bit? And I always felt like that combination, even if they were friendly, I was like, like, ugh, I don't like this at all. It's, like, really awkward. And now I feel like Redick being on the Breen team has, like, I love Jefferson on these games now. It's the Richard Jefferson show. He just gets to talk the whole time, and it's not stepping on anybody, and I think it's awesome. So there is, like, a win in that, but, like, the A team that they've assembled that'll call the finals, like, it's really rough. And, like, I don't know how you can listen to, here's where it's objective. I don't know how you can listen to these telecasts and be like, this is great. Like, who would make that argument? Like, just the actual content, not everything around it, the actual content. I don't know what the argument is that, like, this is going really well. That's tough when you know the finals are going to be called by that team.
I feel like Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy are doing their best, like, Statler and Waldorf routine, like, the throwing tomatoes at the television, right? Like, Mystery Science Theater 3000 right. Jeering while whatever Redick and Doris Burke make points. Anyway,
it's like, which one of you is going to go coach the Bucks?
Nick and Ken here. You better, you bet. We'll get to the NFL draft next hour on the show. The Whale Capper, Drew Dinsick, in hour number three. But the Celtics thrashed the Miami Heat yesterday. Not unexpected. Boston wins by 20. If you bet the game, and I don't think either of us did, bet the side of the game, Boston closing 14 or 14.5, they're up by like 90. And then the Heat do that thing where they claw back into the game, or I guess I should say Boston does that thing where they're up by a million and just takes the foot off the accelerator. And Boston does end up covering at the end after Miami cuts it to 14. We get the like insane Caleb Martin, Jason Tatum drama at the end. Like, did Caleb Martin do it on purpose? Like, I think all this stuff is so stupid, but whatever. Anyway, the Celtics end up winning the game. They're up 1-0, very likely to win the series as Jimmy Butler dealing with the MCL sprain. So it feels like right now, and things can change, right? We're kind of staring down the barrel of a Denver-Boston NBA Finals, which, Ken, I know brings us to a betting angle that you're interested in for people that still, like, that want to bet Denver potentially to win the NBA championship.
Well, just yeah, it starts to get to diminishing returns at some point as Denver's price keeps dropping. Remember, this was viewed at the start of the series, this Lakers first round, as a series that was, you know, maybe the Nuggets wouldn't be in danger a lot, but there was a little bit of danger in it, more than the Celtics first round series, for example, where they were like minus 20,000. There was a little bit of danger in it, and as Denver kind of puts that away with each game, and we'll see if they can do it tonight. They lose tonight, it's all back on the table again. You know, their price is going to keep dropping, and they're going to eventually be minus to win the West. Maybe that happens right after the first round ends. Depends on who wins some of the other series, I think. You know, if the Thunder were to ever lose to the Pelicans, for example, or something like that, Denver gets home court throughout at that point. These are things that can make Denver an even bigger favorite. So, you know, one of the answers could just be, hey, I like Denver, I'm going to keep betting Denver. And who am I to say no to that? All I've done is bet Denver, so I definitely wouldn't tell you not to do that. I just think the thing that's interesting, and this is already starting to shift, you can see it week by week by week, even before the playoffs, the way that the exactas are priced. So exacta in this, for the terminology for this discussion, is the market in which it's one team over another team to win the title. So you not only get the finalists correct, you have to predict who wins when they play. So it's this team over this team. You could bet Stanley Cups this way. I bet a number of them going into this postseason. Could be a fun way to play it if you feel like you have a strong opinion on in that finals matchup or in that Stanley Cup final matchup or in that Super Bowl matchup. You have a strong opinion on who you think would win anyway, and you kind of want to get ahead of that, or you think the betting market would be shaped a certain way, and you want to get ahead of that. And what's still happening is, and this is where you lose me a little bit. Boston's definitely more likely to make the finals. Can't argue that at all. Not arguable. Than Denver. Than any team. The exactas don't reflect that probability at all. You need the two teams to get there in order for the exacta to take place. So this isn't a Denver's path is tougher conversation. You need them both to make it for the bet to even activate, basically. You just lose if somebody else makes it. And when they get there, there's still this assumption that Boston's going to be a pretty big favorite in the series. They will have home court. I get that. I don't think that's true. And I don't know how big, like, I think the Celtics will be favored, but I don't think they will be very big favorites. And I think there's a bunch of reasons why I feel this way. I think the way the rest of this postseason will play out will actually only increase the degree to which people really like Denver and would want to play Denver as we go forward. I don't think they'll close a favorite in the series. I can be wrong, but like, I don't think Denver will be favorite. The home court aspect of this, and Boston's such a good home team, I think really looms large for like the Celtics have to almost be a minus something. But what is it? Is it, you know, is it minus 200 or is it like minus 130? Like, is it something down by that? And there's like a lot of disagreement about who would win. And I would just ask people listening, Denver plays Boston 7-game series right now. Like, who would you pick? And okay, like, what if all of us just feel like that? and all of us, including people who bet, and they played a couple times this year, close games, Denver won them. It's going to be different based on what we've seen so far. So there are a couple other reasons I like kind of getting ahead of this to a certain extent. The exacta for Boston over Denver, depending on where you go, it's different. But the exacta for Boston over Denver is priced lower everywhere. than the exact for Denver over Boston. So the assumption is basically Boston is more likely to beat Denver than Denver is to beat Boston if they play, and meaning Boston will be favored in that series. 5-1, 550, 490, that kind of stuff. Denver is about less than 3-1 to win the title now. I do think they're going to end up playing. I am going to like Denver. Boston can win, like I can be wrong. I just, if you're still like kind of at the trough wanting to get a little more Denver, these exactas, I think, are going to age really well. I'm going to be really curious when we get the NBA Finals market for Boston-Denver if I'm right, or if I could be wrong, and there could be way more Boston support than I'm thinking. And this, you know, this has happened the last couple of years, to be fair. They've been bet a lot in these markets. I think this one's different because of who they're going to be up against and just the general perception about both teams. I have a couple other things on this too, but just I think that's an interesting way to play it if you kind of feel like a lot of us do that, man, Boston just really unlikely to find a lot of resistance on the way to the finals.
Would you join me, Nick and Ken here, you better you bet, and like, and Costanza this, meaning, okay, Denver-Boston in the finals. Let's say it's Boston minus 150, split the difference, Boston minus 160, Denver plus 130. Let's just say that's what it is, right? Split the difference between 130 and 200. How many, like, you know, you have young kids, like they've got friends, right? How many, like, young children and or elderly people would you bowl over on the way to get to, like, to bet the Denver Nuggets at, like, a plus price in the NBA Finals against the Celtics? Because for me, I think it'd be several.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, we have so much Denver already. Like, would we even do that? Like, do you want that much more at that point?
I would. It'd be like this little kid would be like watching Bluey, be like, oh, like, I understand you like Bluey. Also, here's my knee in your temple as I like rush to get to my computer screen to click the button on Denver against Boston at a plus price.
And just to be clear here, like, you can bet the matchup. They're just gonna play. That's like 2-1 right now, and it drops 20 cents every day. And you could bet that, or you can bet like when they get there, this happens. That's the exact. Just because, again, I think people get confused. Both markets are offered by basically everywhere. And the beauty of the exact is you're basically taking an opinion that if they played, that the price that the sort of implied is wrong, and that Denver would be more likely to win that series than Boston would. And again, just to go back to, I said, I think people would only improve their opinion of Denver. This is where the path helps you, I think. Boston's whole thing, their whole deal, like if you're like, well, this team has a weakness. Well, one, you would say the coach. But two, you would say they don't play in like a lot of close games. They don't play in many of them. And when they do, they have a tendency to not play as well as they play in all of these other splits and all of these other situations. They still play okay. They just don't play as well as they do in all these other situations. This happened in both games against Denver. And the problem, it's sort of the best thing and the worst thing about this path for the Celtics. They're going to coast here. They're going to walk into the finals, probably. Maybe they play a Giannis on Milwaukee healthy Bucks team and it gets a little fun, right? Maybe the Knicks take a couple games and it gets a little fun. But look, like, how many games is Boston going to drop between now and the finals? Two? Maybe something like that? Three? It's not going to be a lot. How many close games are they going to be in? They might go like 2.5 months without playing a clutch game, like a meaningful game. They might go like the whole spring and play none of these. Meanwhile, Denver is answering every question in every tight spot, in every close situation, and they thrive in it. And these two teams are going to play, and you're going to show up and you're going to bet Boston? Like, really? I don't think people are going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I'm curious at what point we get to as Denver. Maybe they keep looking awesome. It would be great. And Boston just keeps winning by 20, and who cares? At what point does the exacta price start flipping and we start to kind of feel like, hey, if they played, like, home court's great and it should be factored in, who would like Boston in this matchup to win 4 out of 7, not to win a couple games, not to be competitive? So curious to see if I'm right. I don't have to be, but that's kind of the opinion I'm going into the rest of this postseason with.
No, there's... Do you want to bet the 49ers against the Chiefs? Do you want to bet Purdue against UConn?
Well, the funny thing about that exact is you would have just bet the Chiefs on Super Bowl Sunday. He's getting plus the points. So.
Listen. The Nuggets, like Thanos, you know, snap the whole fingers and, you know, win NBA championships and all that jazz. Hour one done, hour two for you coming up on the other side. We'll talk some NFL drafts with Eric Eager, but we'll start the hour. More big picture thoughts on the NBA postseason.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.